بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات، وهو الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات. الحمد لله الذي خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى. الحمد لله الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. الحمد لله الذي هدى من ضلالة وأنقذ من جهالة. له الأسماء الحسنى والنعوت. صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. Brothers and sisters in Islam, before I begin, I have to share this with you. One of the things that boost my iman, my spirit, instills, one of the things which instills hope in my heart, is seeing all these young men and women in a place where the Quran is recited, in a place where the deen is being taught. Wallahi, one of the greatest things, bounties that you have, and you ought to be grateful for it. Like we mentioned, our mission as Muslims to better the future of Islam in general and the future of Islam in America is to prepare the next generation. I assure you, they will do a much better job in conveying the message of Islam than us. We're struggling, but they were born here. They know much better the environment, the people. If we prepare them, nourish them, give them the deen, equip them, they will influence a lot of Americans to accept this religion. And like we mentioned في خطبة الجمعة, to do so, we need a functioning Muslim home. One, you see, the school will not be able to do everything for you. Actually, the house can destroy what the school is doing. So you need a functioning Muslim home, a husband and wife, a father and mother, who are aware of the responsibility. Then we need a school and we need a masjid to be able to prepare that generation. And alhamdulillah, we decided this weekend to spend our time or the theme to be around the Muslim family. How can we empower, better the Muslim family? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we do have a lot of problems at home. Don't be naive. Don't pretend that you don't have it. We have it. And there are solutions. There are ways that we can go about fixing these problems. Alhamdulillah, the last day, we spent the time talking about how can you have a good start if you're looking to get married. Yes, we mentioned we have 7 tips, 7 hints, 10 things, I'm sorry, that you could do to empower the Muslim family. We decided to break those 10 into 2 sets of 5. The first set of 5 is for those who are not married yet and they are looking to get married. And we discussed this in the last session. Today, we want to talk about homes that are not functioning. Homes that are in troubles. And by the way, I'm not going to assume because you're sitting down that means you're having problems at home. So you don't leave. All of you are okay, mashallah, your homes are functioning. But you're here maybe to help others who are troubled. Okay? Because some of you, oh, if the sheikh sees me sitting down here, that means he's assuming that I'm having problems. No, all your homes are good. What about that? You guys having A-plus homes. But you're just here in order to be able to help other families, inshallah. Without wasting time, because we're going to have you leave, inshallah, no later than 10:15, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. A lot of that stuff, just for the sake of being truthful with you, is coming from that website, Islam Newsroom. I got a lot of the stuff from there, very beautiful, mashallah. The five for the married, seven warning signs, seven things that if you see in your relation, in your home, regarding your relationship with your spouse, that means your marriage is in trouble. Now, 10 steps to jumpstart that relationship again. Because your relationship is dying. Like the car, you need to do what? Shock it so it what? It comes back. Now, 8 things you must keep doing in order to better the relationship. And 7 golden advices for those, for both spouses. And the last thing is think about Jannah. Think about Jannah. And I will ask your permission to begin with think about Jannah. A lot of us, when we get married, and after 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, more or less, you know, you go outside to work and you're out there in the street and you see all these women, how they are beautifying themselves for you. Huh? And you go home and you find someone else. Then you always wonder, man, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this woman. Can't I have another chance? Mother, the way that Shaitan set the game for us, that somehow Shaitan convinced our wives, not all of them, yani, just to be fair to the sisters and not to get in trouble with them, convince them that you're at home careless about how you look. But when you go out, do what? Beautify yourself. Put the black and the white and you start. You're actually supposed to do this for your husband at home. But to be fair to the sisters, let's be fair here, men are acting like this. When they are in the outside, they are so cool with one another, smiling. But when they go home, the lion is back. You know, Mr. Weirdo is back. He put on the other mask. So it goes both ways. Especially when you have children out of this marriage, think about Jannah. Imagine your wife is going to be the way you wish her to be in Jannah. Dear wives, imagine your husband is going to be the way you wish him to be in Jannah. You know you're going to be with your wife in Jannah. You know that. You guys are not excited about it. Should be excited about it. Come on. Your wives are out there listening to this. We hear that story that this man, his wife passed away. So he acted up, you know, he showed some grief and, you know, I'm going to miss her. But he's overdoing it, you know. So while they are burying her, so he's standing on the top of the grave while they are placing her underneath the ground, and he kind of exaggerated. He exceeded. Started crying and weeping, I'm going to miss you, my wife, and so forth. So some learned person came and whispered in his ear and he said, don't worry, she's going to be with you in Jannah. He said, really? Oh Allah, bear witness, I divorce her. I divorce her, I divorce her. 3 times. He doesn't understand that Allah will fix her. That is why you find وَأَزْوَاجٌ what is the word? مُطَهَّرَ وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَ purified wives. Think about Jannah. If you're missing something in this world, in that relationship, think about Jannah. That things are going to be okay in Jannah. Let's move quickly here because we have maybe we're going to be able to finish just two or three items, and after Fajr we will finish the rest bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Seven warning signs. You are contemplating divorce. You're thinking about divorce. All the divorces that happened, it happened after people thought about it. And they actually started talking about it to other people. Whether they're friends, whether they're family members, or whether even the sheikh. They would go and ask the sheikh, how can I divorce my wife? The fact that you're thinking about divorce, I assure you that one day you will divorce your wife. That's a big sign that you're actually contemplating, thinking about a way out of that relationship. Because I want to tell you something. If something is not working and you already developed an attitude that you want out, you're never going to make it work. And this is why I personally do when troubled couples would come asking for counseling. Wallahi, this is what I tell them. The first question I ask them, listen, do you have children? If the answer is no, go ahead, divorce. What? How? Now? You want to divorce her now? Let's do it. No children. No problem. But if they tell me, yes, we do have children, I tell them, you're stuck. You have to make this work. Go. I'm not going to divorce you. You come for counseling if you want. I'm not going to divorce you. But Sheikh, you're stuck. Your children will pay the price. Brothers, sisters in Islam, the people who pay the price out of divorce are your children. They end up living with mothers who are not their mothers. They are called stepmothers. They end up living with fathers who are not their fathers, stepfathers. And I'm telling you, they will never be the same like the fathers, like the mothers. Never. No one can treat your children the way you would treat them as a parent. The point that I'm trying to bring here, listen, if you are married and you have children, don't think about divorce. Because if you consider divorce, that means it's an indication that you're not willing to make that marriage work. You're already thinking out, you're walking out. You're just trying to justify it by hearing from this person or that person that it's okay, you can divorce, there is no problem. So this is the big alarm or warning sign that you should be considering. Number two, no communications. A big sign. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to assure to you that the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had marital issues, marriage issues. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had issues with his spouses. But he communicated, he talked about it, he took care of it. The problem with no communication, these problems keep building up, building up, building up, until the person breaks, until your spouse breaks. You're pushing them to the limit. But if you talk about the problems as you go every day, every week, designate 10, 15 minutes time. What went wrong this week? Let's talk about it. You know, I did this. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let's take care of it. There is no problem. Ya ikhwa, there is no problem that if you done something wrong, that you say that I'm wrong. You're saying that you're perfect? There is nothing wrong. And there is nothing wrong also to let go. Look at this situation. Wal hadith fi sahih. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his companions with him one day. And he was at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And you know how jealous Aisha is. She used to be jealous of Khadija radiallahu anha, who is dead. Fasafiyya, the other wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was known of having the skill to cook. She was very good with cooking food. So she sent a tray to the Messenger of Allah to eat. A tray of food. What did Aisha do? Knocked it down. Broke the plates, the food in the ground. Imagine, wallahi, if this happens to one of us these days. How embarrassed you will be in front of your friends. What are you going to do? You're going to grab a stick and run behind your wife. Isn't that what you're going to do? Huh? What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? Huh? He went down and he picked up the food. غارت أمكم غارت أمكم غارت أمكم. Your mother is just jealous. Your mother is just jealous. Your mother. Imagine. Can you have that attitude? Yet he asked her to, to bring another tray for Safiya, and he pardoned her. The problem is no communication. Brothers and sisters in Islam, especially with the sisters, I want to warn you. And that is why, by the way, they call us the opposite genders. Something about women, you may not be aware of this, and you may hear this for the first time. They like to talk about the problems right away. Women like to talk. When there is a problem between her and her husband, she likes to talk about it right now. The husband is the contrary. The husband wants what? To go inside a room and just say, that is not fair. I shouldn't have married this one. You just want to live that, that feeling of being treated unjustly. You know that, why did I do this? Men like that, because he is afraid he would disgrace himself in front of his wife if he would do that. Then if you do not communicate, what happens? If you do not talk to your wife, what happens? She gets other people involved in the relationship. She would call who? The mother-in-law. The father-in-law. Or she would maybe call a friend. By all the sudden, you will find people who are strangers know about your problems with your wife. Imagine you going outside the following day, and somebody calls you, why did you do this to your wife, man? It's not for, man, how did you, how, because he didn't talk to her. She wanted to talk to somebody. She's going crazy. That's how women are. Allah made them this way. They like to talk about their problems. No communication, that means problems are building. One day she's going to hold a knife and stand in front of you, divorce me right now. I'm not going to take it anymore. Because what? You pushed her to the limit. You have not been communicating with her. Alarm. Lots of arguing. That's a third sign, that when you actually talk to one another, the only thing worse than no communication is the wrong communication. If the primary form of communication between you and your spouse is yelling and screaming, it is a good bet you are going to be single soon. If this is the way it's going. That any time that you talk to one another, you're just arguing about things. All couples argue. That is a part of married life. However, when the arguments become ugly, persistent, that becomes personal. Becomes personal. That all what you're trying to get out of the argument that you want to prove that you're right. Don't do this. وبعدين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا إخوة given us a lot of incentive that we should leave arguing. أنا زعيم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أخرج الترمذي وأبو داود أنا زعيم ببيت في ربض الجنة لمن ترك المراء ولو كان محقا. Imagine this. I guarantee a house in the outskirts of Jannah for someone who let go of arguing, pointless arguing, aimless arguing. That's what I'm talking about. But sometimes you debate, you talk to make a point, and it's not personal. If you leave that type of arguing for the sake of Allah, the Messenger of Allah guarantees a house for you in Jannah, in the outskirts of Jannah. Imagine. Another sign, ya ikhwa, lots of arguing. This is something that is important, no intimacy. This is not always a sure shot, let's be fair. Some couples are just not as frisky as others. It may be due sickness or age or just personality. But all things being equal, it's hard to be intimate with someone you don't like. What we're talking about here, no intimacy because you don't like one another. You're not liking one another. There is no connection. Listen, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, don't beat your wife during the day and ask to sleep with her at night. She's not an animal here. For intimacy, even in America here, they have something, I'm sorry to be a little bit graphic here, they call it foreplay. That you shouldn't approach a woman like her. No, there are some feelings. Women like to be entertained before actually having this. Now, if there is hate and dislike, how are you going to have intimacy with her? That is what is meant. But there are some people who would refrain from intimacy for other reasons. If you are not happy with your spouse, then it is safe to say you are not going to want to kiss, hug, or do anything else with them. 5, you don't like being around one another. You're planning your day, how can I run away from the house? Big sign, don't we do this? Huh? Where are you going? I'm going out. Why? Work. And he's not working, he's going to sit with his buddies. Or maybe go sit in Starbucks and just look at the cougars walking around. That's, he's not really going anywhere, but he just don't want to be around. That's a big sign. You should enjoy one another. This is your wife, man. I mean, you gotta enjoy her. You gotta enjoy being around one another. This is a big sign. 6, and this is important. Islam has gone out of the window. And I mean by Islam, the commitment to the religion. Both of you are not praying at all, or hardly keeping up with the salah, committing sins. The remembrance of Allah is rare in the house. Basically, shaitan is dwelling with you. The Quran is hardly read in your house. Malaika, angels are not entering the house because you're having a dog, or you're hanging pictures on the walls, or whatever you're doing. You hardly read Surah Al-Baqarah, that kicks shaitan out of the house. You hardly pray with her. Islam is not present. You hardly remind. If you see your wife doing something wrong, you never remind her of the wrongdoing. If she sees her husband would go and earn living, bring money from haram into the house, and the wife would not bother. She would be just happy as anyone else. When the wives of the predecessors of the Sahaba would warn their husbands before they leave, ittaqillaha fina, fear Allah in us, and don't bring a provision from haram. Provide for us from lawful sources. Oh, Islam is not there. 7 and the last, other people are getting involved. Big sign. And I mean negatively, in a negative manner. Other people can get involved like an imam. Sometimes, a husband and wife cannot work their differences. They need counseling. And they go, and they do counsel. That is okay. But I'm talking about other people who dictate what you should do. Or sometimes they would talk to your wife to bolden her against you. Oh, don't do this. Don't listen to him. You got to ask, Wallahi, ya ikhwa, this is a big problem. Especially in communities, established communities, you always find a circle where certain sisters, they just hunt the one who's having marital problems. And they start whispering to her, oh, what did he do to you? Here's what you need to do. You go to the county and you do this and you do that. The laws here in this country are pro-women. Don't worry about it. You get him big time. Huh? And they begin what? Working on. The moment that this happens is a disaster. Is a disaster. Huh. For these are 7 signs. If you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of 7 of these signs, shall we say this again quickly or you got them? What was the first one? Huh? What was the first one? What? You're thinking about divorce. 2, no communication. 3, lots of arguing. 4, no intimacy. 5, you don't like being around one another. 6, Islam has no, or gone out of the window, meaning you're not practicing the religion inside the house. 7, and the last, people are getting involved in that relationship. Now, if you have one or more of these signs, that means your marriage is dying. And it is time to jumpstart your marriage. This has to be done in case there are children as a result of your marriage. You have to do it. 10 steps to jumpstart your marriage quickly. Are you ready to take those? Huh? Yes? Quick ones. 1. Flee back to Allah. Wallahi, Allah can fix your wife for you in a record time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fix your husband for you, dear sisters, in a record time. But go back to Allah. I'm telling you, there is a connection. Wallahi, I find that connection so clear in a verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the Christians split it, divided into groups, and animosity was placed amongst them because they forgot the revelation. Ahil ayahu. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَهُمْ. Those who said that we are Christians, we established a covenant with them. فَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. But they forgot a portion of what we reminded them with. What happened? What was the result of this? Huh? فَأَغْرَيْنَا بَيْنَهُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We placed animosity and hate amongst them. They divided because they forgot what? Like our brother, Sheikh Adam at the very beginning. Listen, the first relationship that you have to cater for, oh, is who? Allah. Then Allah will fix the people around you. وانت تعجب. You wonder how this was put, even in the Quran. But how this put in the will which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam given to both Mu'adh and Abi Dharr. What did he say to them? اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ وَاتْبَعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Be conscious of Allah wherever you are. Huh. So this is your relationship with Allah. And then what? وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Then maintain a good character in dealing with people. But if you don't have this one, and I'm telling you, the moment that you see division amongst Muslims, because of a sin, because of sinning. If we actually all repent and go back to Allah, Allah will put our hearts together. Because at the end of the day, Allah is the one who places the love and the affection amongst our hearts. Hatta even in the Christian traditions, they have that very famous statement that we repeat all the time. What? A family that prays together does what? Stays together. Christians would say that. A family that prays together stays together. Imagine this. Why? Because, Jazakallahu khairah, Barakallahu fiqh, Assalamu alayhi. Why? Because the connection with Allah is straight. Relationship with Allah. Why the Sahaba loved one another? Why? While هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين وألف بين قلوبهم لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. Why? Allah placed affection amongst Abu Bakr, Umar. They would love one another. Huh? The love. Why? Because they had a straightforward relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise your family. The problem you're having at home, because one of you is sinning. He's probably spending some time on the computer looking at these women. Big sin. Try to stop this. Or he's earning his provision from haram. Stop that. This is why your marriage is not working. Repent. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fix your relationship with Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the relationship between you and your spouse. Allah will never be pleased with someone who leaves his guidance and does not worship him. This will cause Muslim families serious problems and even to split up faster than anything Therefore, flee back to Allah. So that's the first thing that you need to do. Number two, start talking. Talk. Talk about the problems. Come on, let's talk about this. Why are we arguing? Why are we having problems? Why are you upset with me, my wife? Why? Let's talk about this. What did I do wrong? I did this and this. You know what? Here is why I did this. Do you think this is right? No, it is not right. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Move on, akhi, move on. With marriage, you have to move on. Seriously. Don't be stubborn with marriage in particular, with your spouse. The problem is we bring out our ego. You know the word ego? Is that right? Ego, huh? Egoist, you know, like nafs. How she would talk to me like this, you know? I'm this guy, you know? Ya Rajda, this guy. Mashi عم الحال, mashi حالك عم الحج. Let go. Also the wives, let go. Let go. Don't be stuck. The problem with us, if we analyze the issues that we have in our homes that cause bigger problems, very simple issues. So we need to admit that he got at this stage because we were not addressing the issues when they were arising in the first place. They kept building up. We pushed one another to the limit. Therefore, the second thing that we need to do is we need to communicate. List the problems. You and your spouse, come. What problems do you have with me? Write them down. And what problems I have with you, I will write them down. And you, out of courtesy, tell your wife, we'll discuss your problems first. We'll start with yours. But do something good. You know what it is? Before you talk about her problems, or before she talks about your problems, start with something good that they are doing. You know, you've been good to me, you've been taking care of me, you've been washing my clothes, ironing them. You've been taking care of the children. But I have some issues. And bring the issues up. Don't just go out there and say, you are this and you are that. Come on, this is a fight, this is a boxing game. This is not... No, we're talking to what? To resolve the issues. Even, yani, learn this with like if you are a boss or you're yani, a leader in a community, or when you address your or a principal in a school, and if you are in a leadership, even a teacher, that's what you should do with your students. Don't just give the negative all the time. Just try to bring out the positive which they have, make them feel good about themselves, then address the negative quickly and move on. Close with a positive note too, quickly. This is psychology, ikhwa. Because at the end of the day, I want to tell you something. Nobody likes to be told that he's wrong. Nobody likes it. I'm telling you, no human being like it. Do you like it? I don't think you like it. I would like it. But, you know, we have to accept it because we're wrong. Start communicating. Stop misbehaving. Saying bad, hateful things. I hate you. You're a terrible wife. You're a terrible husband. You're lousy. Stop that. This just increases hate in the relationship. Stop that. Making bad jokes about one another and insulting each other. You need to stop that. Four, stop ignoring one another, not replying back the salams, or giving each other the good ear to listen and share. You need to stop that. This all will bring the relationship back to light or to life. Allah forbids, stop lying. Allah forbids the believers to lie. Problem, ya ikhwa, that if your wife experiences you lying one time, it's over. I'm telling you. And if you experience your wife lying one time, it's over. That's the problem with lying. Because lying, by the way, is a habit. Lying, you don't do it just one time because you did it out of mistake, because it's a habit. And, yani, subhanAllah, I never take my mind away from the scene when Nabiullah Ibrahim alayhi salam, took his wife Hajar and Ismail to the desert. And he left them. You know, didn't Hajar ask the question? Huh? Why are you doing this? Huh? From Allah. Imagine, I want to tell you something. Take your wife to the highway and your kids to the highway tonight and leave them there and go home. Huh? Why are you doing this? You're lying. Huh? Lying is not a good in, tell the truth. Listen, you can use something called ma'arid. Ma'arid. يعني, and this is something that, subhanAllah, the Sharia allowed us. يعني, ثلاثٌ, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, ثلاثٌ من الكذب لا أعدهن كذبا. There are three types of lies which are not considered lies in the side of the Sharia. Like what? كذب الرجل على زوجته. That you lie to your wife. But in what regard? Because a lot of the people say, I'm supposed to lie to my wife. No, in what area are we talking about here? Oh, you're so beautiful. Man, you're the most beautiful thing I ever. And when she cooks food for you, oh man, this food is, I never had something like this before. This is just, you could do that. يعني the food, you cannot even swallow it. Oh man, it's so delicious. And when she hides away, you can do that. You're supposed to do that actually. You're beautiful. She may not be beautiful. The wife also telling her husband that you're so handsome, you're good looking. Oh, that's where we're supposed to practice lying, in that area. Hopefully it's not lying, but you could actually practice lying in this area. But lying to take away a right, or lying to oppress her, lying to take away her jewelry, to sell it and use it for your business without her permission, without her approval, lying to commit injustice against her, that is something that you should not do. Number six, stop breaking promises. This is very bad in the relationship. When you promise, I'm going to take the trash out every Wednesday. When do you guys take the trash out here in New Jersey? What day? What day is trash day? If you don't know what day the trash day is, you're having some trouble at home with your wife. I'm telling you this. What day is the trash day here? Huh? Thursday. Okay, I'm going to take the trash out every Thursday. By clock. Look at this husband, my, he keeps his promises. He's a good, nice husband. Stuff like that really keeps the relationship going. When you should be Mr. Fix-It in the house. When something breaks, you don't wait for your wife to go and get a hammer and go get a lather and go on the top. Come on, man. I mean, you should be what? The guy who what? Who does this stuff? This is a man stuff. So stop breaking your promises. Stop avoiding contact. A big problem. How in the world you would go into the house and you don't hug your wife? You give her a hug. Guys, when was the last time you done that? Tell me. Huh? Last century? Huh? How in the world, when you meet your brother in the masjid, don't you give them a hug? Huh? Salaam alaikum, brother. Huh? Give your wife a hug, man. Give her a kiss. Huh? Smile. Your teeth are not awra. Smile, you know, like, you know, you can smile. You can show your, you know, you can show your smile to your wife. Stuff like that, you know. You hug the brothers at the mosque. But what about little hug with your wife? Come on, you can do that. It's not haram. Huh? The brothers come and ask me, can I shake a wife of... can I shake the hand of a Muslim, of another woman who is not mahram to me? Huh? Yeah, Rajin, when was the last time you shake the hand of your wife? Can you tell me, billahi alik, when was the last time that you actually had a handshake with your wife? Huh? Now you want to go and shake the hands of the other women? Give me a break. Huh? Like a needle in your head when you do that. Shake the hands, yeah, the touch. Get that at home. Get what you need at home. Stop suspicion, backbiting. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. This also applies to your wives, to your husbands, that you shouldn't be suspicious of them. You shouldn't be backbiting them. And I'm telling you, the moment that you accuse your wife of something, because on the basis of submission, you have destroyed that relationship. Because there is no longer, the trust doesn't exist anymore in that relationship. And it's very dangerous. Especially, ikhwa, if the accusation is in the area of al-ird, be careful. Be careful that you doubt your wife regarding her ird, her honor as a woman. Don't, without having witnesses, without verifying, don't. Oh, we need to stop that. Number 9, stop being busy, too busy. Your wife asks you to do, let's go outside, can we have dinner tonight? No, I'm too busy. Can we talk? I'm too busy. Can we do this together? I'm too busy. Can we take the kids out? I'm too busy. لا. Stop being too busy. That's not good. You have to take off time. You have to arrange your schedule. You have to get some time out of your day for your family. This is important. Telling you two things. Two things. You telling your wife, I could divorce you. If the word divorce comes out, if the word divorce is a vocabulary that you use with your wife, the sense of security is done. Because you know what? Islam what? How Islam does it? You could by all the sudden tell your wife, I divorce you, she's gone. The moment that she feels this towards you, insecurity is instilled in her heart. Guess what? She's going to have a plan B. Even so, she's married to you. But possibly, some of the money that you allocate for shopping is going to be channeled somewhere else. In case if he says it, what if he divorces me? What I'm going to do? Huh? So let me prepare what? For plan B. La. Don't. Even for fun. Women calling the police on their husbands. Big problem. And as soon as the police hears the news, they come running. Restraining order. Big problem. I'll never forget this, this sister in Denver. She asked her husband to buy her one of these, you know, women bags, but one of these like Calvin Klein. One of these, he refused. Guess what? She called the police on him. The guy spent 6 months in jail. Of course, he did this and this to me. So when he came out, she's bringing him to me. Because he doesn't want to go back to the house. He's afraid. And she's saying, I love him. I love him so much and he doesn't want to come back home with me. Help me, Imam. And I'm asking the brother, man, it's nice to have a wife like this. What's going on? I said, Sheikh, she called the police on me because I didn't buy her a Calvin Klein. Is that true? The woman said, yes. Man, go away. Run away. Go away. I mean, somebody who calls the police on you because he didn't buy her a bag. I mean, don't do that. Sisters, if you're threatened, if there is a domestic violence, we understand. And there is no one to help you out there, you're entitled to get help. Let's be fair here. Some men are aggressive. Some men are mean. They can inflict physical harm upon the women. True. If this is the case, go ahead and call for help. But not for silly stuff like that, or that stuff that you can address and handle. You should not do that. So those are 10 things you need to stop doing or you need to start doing in order to jumpstart the relationship. We still have 15 more minutes. So we can do number 3, inshallah. Huh? Are we good? 15 more minutes, inshallah. 8 things you must keep doing. Good attitude, positive attitude. You know, this is, how are you doing today? How, alhamdulillah, everything went wonderful. Had a nice day today. Work was good. What about you? But when we come home, I say, oh man, terrible day. Oh, I'm so tired, so mad at this guy. Yeah, you have a good attitude. Be positive. Al Muslim, ya ikhwa, the believer should be optimist. Is that the word? Optimistic? Huh? And you should have optimism. You should have the right attitude. Yeah, alhamdulillah, praise Allah for whatever He gives you and for whatever He doesn't give you. Say alhamdulillah. So good attitude. Two, help. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed the importance of men helping their wives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the importance of women being mates and helpers to their husbands. This is a real win-win situation if we just follow it. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do when he is in the house? She says, كان في مهنة أهلي. He used to help us tailor the clothes. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a needle, tailor the clothes, huh? Cook some food, huh? Stuff like that. Help them out. Let me help you with the laundry. I'll take the laundry downstairs. Stuff like that. Help. That stuff enriches the relationship. Trust. Muslims, men and women, are ordered to be trustworthy and follow the example of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a sadiq, the trustworthy. If she trusts you with something, deliver. Don't betray her trust in a way. Respect. You get respect when you give respect. This is mandatory for all Muslims, toward all people. How much more toward the spouse? Sometimes we demand respect out of our spouse, but yet we're not respecting them. We're very disrespectful to our wives, and yet we want them to treat us with respect. This is not going to work. Number five, joy. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to entertain his wife. Imagine, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he raced with Aisha. Didn't we read this? Isn't that in the Sunnah? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam racing with his wife, huh? And when she was still young, and she won the race, and later on when she carried some weight, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi raced again with her, and he won the race. So be playful with your family, with your kids, and so forth. Number six, forgiveness. This is a key. Wallahi, ikhwa, there is a, I believe the verse is in Surah التحريم. التحريم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم التغابن. Look at this. Look at the context of this verse. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O ye who believe, إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم. Some of your family members, your wives, your spouses, your kids are your enemies. Your enemies. Be aware of this. This is half of the verse. What should I do, Ya Allah? Huh? Look at the second half. What is the second half? وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا. Look at those three. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. تَعْفُ, العف, that you pardon. تَصْفَحُ, that you overlook. تَغْفِرُ, forgive. Yet they are your enemies. Your wife, your children. What should you do? You meet this with what? Forgiveness. I forgive you. Let go. No problem, my wife. We're good. You know, we're fine. Don't worry about it. I'm sorry I did this. Don't worry about it. It's okay. We all do mistakes. You cannot imagine how much this will contribute to your marriage, to the bitterness, to the betterment of your marriage. Forgiveness. If Allah forgive ya ikhwa, can't we forgive one another? If Allah forgives me when I commit a sin, can't you forgive your wife? Can't you forgive your husband? Can you let go? Why? You want to punish her? Let go, mashallah. Number seven, time. Spend time alone, together. Go for walks, take a bus ride, visit a friend or someone who is ill. You get big rewards for that. Fast together on Mondays, Thursdays if you can. Make Hajj. This is a great way to get a new start on life. Wallahi, a lot of marriages were in the brink of break. I tell him, brother, can you take your wife for Umrah? Please. It's a couple of $1,000 per person. Just go for Umrah. Wallahi, they come back fixed. Allah has work. Did you do Hajj? Not yet. Did you do Hajj? Your wife did Hajj? Go together for Hajj. Plan to go for Hajj this year. Number eight, the connection, the worship, the connection with Allah through ritual, salah, peace, moving together in the salah. Subhanallah, this is the key. So those are the eight things that you need to maintain and keep doing in order to keep your marriage alive. Inshallah, we still have two more points that we'll cover after Fajr tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The seven golden advices for both spouses, and also talk a little bit more about the fifth hint or tip is thinking about Jannah and how this can help you overcome a lot of the difficulties which you are facing in your marriage. With this, I rest my case. Jazakumullah khaira. And I don't know if you have questions. I'll be more than happy to answer those. If not, inshallah, we'll see you after Fajr, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jazakumullah khaira. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات هو الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات الحمد لله الذي خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى الحمد لله الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى الحمد لله الذي هدى من ضلاله وأنقذ من جهاله الصلاة والسلام على عبده ونبيه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين ومن اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. This is our final session with the empowering the Muslim family workshop. And like we mentioned, Ya Ikhwa, it's very important to realize that reforming the Muslim home or fixing the Muslim home is the cornerstone. Like I mentioned earlier in more than one occasion that there are three institutions you need in a country like America or living in the West in particular in order to produce a Muslim child, a child who will preserve his deen, who will be proud of his identity. He will not change his name. He will not have inferiority about his Islam. You need a functioning Muslim home, important. And this is what we're working on. You need a masjid where your child is attending often, at least two or three salahs a day, if we're talking about a boy here, and finding comfort. He enjoys coming to the masjid. And when he is in the masjid, he is hearing the right message being broadcasted. He may not listen, he may not attend the lectures, but that must be the surrounding, the Quran, the Sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba. This is the environment. And you need a school. And education is a key to support that. If you miss any of these components, if the home is not functioning, if the masjid is not broadcasting the right message, or the children are not interested in coming to the masjid, if your children are going to public school, forget it. Forget it. You're really bringing up just a child. He's probably going to have your culture, he's going to wear your clothes, he's going to eat your food, but Islam will not be there. We spoke about the importance of reforming the Muslim home. We mentioned 10 ways to empower the Muslim family. We divided them into 2 sets of 5. 5, or the first set of 5, for those who want to have a proper start. Because we stress the fact that the issues that we have with a lot of our homes, a lot of our marriages, that we did not have the right start. When we got married, we did not follow the protocol according to Islam. Islam suggested, recommended a certain wife that you should marry to. Suggested also, recommended a certain husband for the sisters. But when we made these choices, we did not make them on the basis of religion. And that's why we're having trouble right now. So we mentioned 5 steps for those who are not married yet that they should follow in order to find the right wife and go about acquiring marriage according to the Sharia. And then we designated the second set of 5 to fix the existing dysfunctional marriages. How can we do it? And we shared with you already 3 things yesterday, 7 signs. If they are not there, if they are there, that means your marriage is in trouble. We mentioned that no communication, a lot of arguing. We mentioned also no intimacy. We mentioned that you're entertaining the idea of divorce already. You're thinking about it. You're talking to some people about it. And you don't like being around one another. You avoid contact. All of these are signs that this relationship is about to die. And then we mentioned 10 things that you need to do to jumpstart that relationship, to resurrect it again. And we focused on one thing, which is the reason why your marriage is not working, the reason why there is a discord between you and your spouse, because both of you, or one of you at least, is away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of you is sinning. One of you is doing something wrong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with. And that is why the punishment is coming in your marriages. Therefore, the best thing that you can do is flee back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back to Allah. Repent. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix you, fix your spouse, fix your marriages. Then start communicating. Start talking to one another about the problems, about the issues, with the intention of resolving them, not with the intention of proving that your wife is wrong and you are right. No. You're talking about it in order to find a common ground between you and your spouse. And we mentioned another set of things that you could do. Start talking, stop misbehaving. We mentioned that as well. Stop, you know, using bad language with your spouse, or ridicule them, making bad jokes about them, insulting them. Stop ignoring one another. Yeah, not replying, not showing interest in what they say, that is not something that you should do, especially when the relationship is already dying. Stop lying. Stop breaking promises. Stop avoiding contact. Stop suspicion and backbiting. Stop being too busy to spend some time with your family. Don't use the word talaq. And we said to the sisters, don't call the cops on your husband. If you don't have a reason to. If you have a reason to, this is something that we understand. We come to the 8 things that you must keep doing. Now you resurrected your marriage. It's back on track, but it could go back again. But there are 8 things that you should keep doing. Having a good attitude about your wife, even pretending, looking happy. I'm happy to be with you. And you're fun. Pretend, akhi. Nothing wrong with that. Even if you don't feel it, just pretend. Like we mentioned yesterday, lying in that area is permissible. Help her. That will give you a lot of credit. Help her. Bring trust back into the relationship. Show respect. Be joyful. Try to have some fun. But lawful one. And we're not talking about unlawful fun here. Lawful fun. Bring some lawful fun into the family. Racing, Quran competition, hadith competition. Say that we're going to go to the park with the family and try to, some lawful fun. Forgiveness is a key, and time together, and of course the worship. We come to the 4th and the one before last hint here. 7 golden advices for both spouses. Listen and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the husbands, they want the wives to obey them, but yet they are not obedient to Allah. If you want people to obey you, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Akiya ikhwa, wallahi is known, we tried it in real life. Especially, of course, when we say obedience here, it must also rhyme with the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. Your husband cannot be commanding, the wife to do something unlawful, for example, and she has to obey. لا. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم made it clear, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no one entitled to your obedience at the expense of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're talking about obedience in the area of what? Of what is lawful, not something that is unlawful. So first rule of obedience is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the wife to the husband. Obeying your husband is obligatory. But what about the husband? Does he have to obey? But now, when we say obedience, sometimes the sisters here feel weird about it. We know we have an amount of text beside this. Mu'ad ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, this is the first hadith that brings a lot of confusion. When he went to Sham, he spent some time in Sham teaching the people the deen, and then he returned. He noticed something there that the people prostrate to the priests. Like they would bow down in front of the priests and the scholars, their scholars, the rabbis and so forth. So when he went back to Medina, as soon as he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went down in prostration. Just to show you how easy he can get influenced by. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and he said, "What are you doing? Ma hada ya Mu'ad? What is this, O Mu'ad?" He said, "O Messenger of Allah, I saw the people in the greater Syria, in Jerusalem, doing this to their priests and rabbis, and you're higher in rank than them." Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it crystal clear, and he said, لا ينبغي لأحد أن يسجد له إلا الله. No one is entitled to to a prostration except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never prostrate but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والسجود يا إخوة هذا لا يكون إلا لله. If you prostrate to someone else, to an object, to a human being, you have certainly committed major shirk, according to the consensus here, provided that you're not forced, provided that you're not ignorant. And then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made that statement. لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لأحد. If I am to ask or command someone to prostrate to someone else, لأمرت الزوجة أن تسجد لزوجها. I would have commanded the wife to prostrate to her husband. طبعا, a lot of us, we take that hadith, prostrate to me, as an indicator. لا, رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم used the word لولا. لولا, meaning I'm not going to do it, but if I would do it, this is number one. Of course, the sujood here, prostration here, is an indication for obedience. The second hadith that we have, which is really a good reminder for our sisters, that when you obey your husband, this actually gives you Jannah. إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا. If the woman prays her 5 daily prayers, وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا, and she fasts her month of Ramadan, وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا, and she kept herself chaste, وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا, and if she obeys her husband, in the day of resurrection, she enters Jannah from any of the 8 gates she wishes. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِهَا شَاءَتْ. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So she gets to choose. We're talking about obedience here in the unlawful. This would give the sisters Jannah. This is 2. 3, also we have to be careful. Obedience to the husband comes with the qawama. What qawama? That the husband is providing 100% in the sense, yeah. Meaning, let's clarify this. If your wife is working and she has a job, she has a commitment, and she is providing half of the family earnings, now she needs to go out for her job. Now, can you tell her not to go out? Can you? No, you can't. And that is why a warning to the brothers who are so happy about having wives who work and provide. You lose half of the qawama. You lose half of that imara, leadership. You're the captain of the family. But when certainly your wife co-provide with you for the family, you lose some of that. Or at least, let's be moderate here, not extreme, at least you should not dictate the decision. You should sit with your wife, discuss it, and get her approval. So you need to have meetings and make sure that you have minutes of the meetings so that later on you can present it to her. All of this comes on the basis of what? Your husband is the Amir, the head of the household. Give him his rights and respect, and Allah will give you your rights. First rule of obedience for you is after Allah and His Messenger, who has the most right? Your mother, your mother, your mother, your father. After your parents, who? Your wife. Don't pretend you did not know this. Same surah, same ayah reads, Men, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Again, I'm bringing this because a lot of us, when we want our wives to follow our commands, we bring this up. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men are the responsible party. But we fail to read the end there. Because of the way that Allah created you, because you're a man, because by inclination the man is more into imara, more into leadership than a woman. Two, because you're spending on the family. So this is number one. Another thing, ya ikhwa, another golden advice, say thank you. Wallahi, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, من لا يشكر الناس لا يشكر الله. If you're unable to say thank you to a human being in front of you, you think you're going to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is missing. Thank you. Jazakallahu khairan, my wife, you did this for me. Jazakallahu khairan, my husband, you did this for me. Oh, I'm telling you, ungrateful spouses is not fun. And we notice this from the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he went and visited his son Ismail, Hadith ibn Abbas fil Bukhari. When Ismail grown up, alayhi salatu wassalam, and he used to work as a hunter, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam went to visit him in Mecca. Prophet Ibrahim used to live in Jerusalem, in Palestine now. So he used to travel to Mecca to visit his son Ismail. He arrived, knock, knock, knock on the door. The wife of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam opened the door. Then he asked her, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa alaykum salam, Aina zawjuk? Where is your husband? She said, Kharaja yaqtatu lana. He went out. That was the job of Ismail. He used to hunt. He's out in the nomad hunting. Then Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam asked his wife, Wa kayfa aishukuma? How is life? How is it going? Look at the woman, what she said. Bishar. It's awful. It's terrible. Miserable. No food. And she started complaining. She didn't know who he was, by the way. He said, when your husband returns, أَبْلِغِيهِ مِنِّي السَّلَامِ, convey my salam to him. وَأَخْبِرِيهِ, and tell him that I told him, أَنْ يُغَيِّرَ عَتَبَةِ دَارِهِ, to change the عَتَبَة, the entrance to his house. The step. يعني, the woman didn't know what's going on. So when Ismail alayhi salam returned, he sensed that there was somebody here. Someone was here? She said, yes. An old man looks so and so. Oh, this is my father. What did he say? He conveyed his salam, his greetings to you, and he's asking you to change the entrance to your house. He immediately said to her, this is my father and he is commanding me to divorce you. Go to you're divorced, you're done. You will understand why Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did this from the second visit. Prophet Ismail alayhi salam went and remarried again. Prophet Ibrahim came to visit him again. He was out hunting too. Knock, knock, knock. Salamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam. Where is your husband? He's out hunting. Kayfa aishukuma? The same question. How's life? Qalat bi khayr. Wonderful. Good. Look at this attitude. Mahawal. What is the problem? I want to tell the sisters, and we don't want to be like offensive with them. We have to be very careful here. That the husband can be the reason for her to go to Jannah. and the reason for her to go to hell. I quoted the hadith earlier, the four things, if she does. What was the first one? Five. Then, saw. Three, chastity. Four, obedience to the husband. Imagine in the day of resurrection, there are eight gates for Jannah. I want to enter from that gate. Look at the second piece here. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كما في حديث ابن عباس عند البخاري, when he was asked to designate a lecture or a talk to the sisters on the day of Eid, to the female companions on the day of Eid, he told them the following: Ya ma'ashir al-nisa, O women, tasaddaq, give a lot of sadaqah. فإني رأيتكن أكثر أهل النار. I saw you, the majority of the dwellers of the people of hell. A woman, by the way, went after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and she asked why. لماذا يا رسول الله? Why are we, the women, are the majority of the dwellers of hell? Guess what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said? قال تكفرن العشير. العشير اللي هو الزوج. وتكفرن يعني being ungrateful. You are ungrateful to your husbands. وتكفرن الإحسان. ما هو when the wife of Ismail complained to his father, about whom she is complaining? About who? Her husband. That he's not providing. It's terrible. We don't have enough. She's being ungrateful to the husband and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of the fact that Ismail out there in the desert with the lions and the scorpions and the snakes trying to bring what? Lawful food for the family. But yet she's ungrateful. When he returned, he asked, how is life? Wonderful. Everything is good. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted really to be fair, and he asked her a second question. وَمَا طَعَامُكُمَا? What do you eat? قالت, she said, اللَّحْمُ وَالْمَاء. Meat and water. قال اللهم بارك لهما في اللحم والماء. Oh Allah, bless their meat and bless their water. And those two things, يا إخوة, in Mecca, wherever you go. Wallah, even if you look at the trash can, you find meat that you could eat. Meat is amazing in Mecca. Wherever you go, you like meat. Water Zamzam is out there. It's been running forever. Alhamdulillah. بِبَرَكَةِ دَعْوَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The Prophet actually commented if she would have mentioned other things and Ibrahim عليه السلام would make dua, it would have been what? Be there already. But he did this in the Quran. وَارْزُقْهُمْ. When he made the dua, وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَةِ. For the second thing is being grateful to one another. Show gratefulness. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this is to the sisters, whoever does not thank the people, does not thank Allah. What is meant? What is the essence of that statement? That you're a human being right here in front of me. I see you. And you're doing a favor to me. And I'm not saying thank you to you. I'm going to say thank you to Allah. I do not see. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. You don't see Allah. But someone who is already doing you a favor right there in front of you, and you're unable to be grateful to that person, impossible that you're going to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just go ahead and say, thanks honey. I mean, that's what we do here. Even add, good job, well done. This is one of the most important techniques. Remember, ungratefulness opposite is a characteristic of the people of hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of us. Brothers, when was the last time you said thank you to your wife? When was the last time you said thank you, honey? Thank you, sweetheart. When? Come on. To your wife for cleaning the house, washing clothes, ironing, bathing the children, taking them to school, teaching them things. You say, but she does that every day. And what is the point? She's doing this day after day. But where is the pay? give her something to make her feel worthwhile, say it, say thank you. Three, do not get angry with your wife. Don't. It's really top of the line when you control your anger with your spouse. Arguments, a fire in your home. Put out the fire as fast as possible. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it crystal clear. He said, do not become angry. Do not become angry. Do not become angry three times. لا تغضب. And he told us, anger is from the devil. And shaitan runs through your body like your blood when you become angry. And that's when a lot of the problems begin, by the way, in the family. A lot of the problems because of excessive anger. You already know men have a hard time admitting their wrongdoings. This is to the sisters. In fact, some men refuse to say it. It's true, so true, by the way. Men are very much always in a state of denial once it comes to I'm wrong. He doesn't want that. It's just, you know, I'm the husband, I'm the man. He doesn't want to do that. But also for you too, be careful not to force the issues with him when he is upset. Treat him like the baby that he is imitating. Really just take it easy and keep your cool. Allah will reward you, and inshallah Allah will guide your husband back on track. Brothers, you know you are not perfect. Come on now, admit it and get it over with. Say, I'm sorry. Wallahi, this kills everything. Imagine this simple statement can put a lot of fire in our homes, that you go and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You can be that person that extinguish the fire of shaitan in your home with a symbol, I'm sorry, even if you think it is not your fault. When you fight back, you're only adding wood to the fire. Watch how sweetie an argument will end when you just say sincerely, look, I'm sorry, let it go, okay? Huh? Try that. Come on, I'm sorry. Let it go, come on. I'm your man, man. I'm good. Didn't I take you out for dinner yesterday? Huh? Took you to IHOP? Huh? What is the other places here? Red Lobster? Got you fish the other day. Come on, let go this one. That's the attitude that we should have. Four, spread salam in the house. Big problem. We enter into our homes. Hi, honey. Huh? Hello. What hello? Subhanallah, ya akhi. يعني الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us كما في حديث أبي هريرة عند مسلم والله لن تؤمنوا والله لن تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. By Allah, you will not enter Jannah unless you believe. Look at this. ولن تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you will never attain iman, faith, unless you love one another. And now you want your wife to love you, and your wife wants to love you, you to love her. ألا أدلكم shall I? Now this hadith is not just for the community. I mean, charity begins at home. Shall I tell you about something that if you do, you will love one another? ألا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم. What should we do, O Messenger of Allah? قال, he said, أفشوا السلام بينكم. Spread peace. سلام عليكم. When you go home, سلام. وبعدين you make حسنات. You make حسنات. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that if you say السلام عليكم, you get what? How many حسنة? 10. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. How many حسنة? 20. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How many? 30 حسنة. When you enter into the house and you bring the barakah. Hadith Anas في السنن, إذا دخلت بيتك فسلم على أهلك فإن سلامك عليهم بركة. وإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة. Yani when you say salam, you bring barakah, blessing into the house. You bless the food, you bless the family. Oh, salam. There is a blessing in the salam. أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَأَطْعِمُوا الطَّعَامِ وَصَلُّوا بِالْلَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. Spread salam. Feed the hunger. Pray at night when people are asleep. Uphold your kinship ties. You will enter Jannah. فَاسْبْرِدْ سَلَام. Peace, and not just the word. Not just the word, but the essence of the word. Assalamu alaikum. You know, don't go home and say assalamu alaikum when in your heart you're going to just, you know, have some, you know, you're going to grab something and beat it up. No. The essence of peace. That actually must have. So peace amongst yourselves. This is in Islam for sure. The Quran talks about it. And our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will not enter paradise. I quoted the hadith earlier, hadith Abi Hurairah and the Muslim. When your spouse comes home, give each other the most wonderful greeting of a Muslim. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace, blessing and mercy of Allah be to you. And remember to smile. Huh? Salamu alaykum. Some people say, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Like, man, what's going on? That was my salamu alaykum with a smile. I mean, imagine you're saying peace and you're fighting with it. You're using it as a fighting weapon. You're using the salam as a fighting weapon. With a smile. Like we said yesterday, your teeth are not awrah. Open your mouth and, you know, and show your teeth and mashallah. You give the salam to every brothers. This is the you give the salam to everyone you see, even brothers you just met. In fact, you are careful to give anyone you just met good salams, right? But what about your wife, the mother of your children, the one who is making dua for you every day and night? Do you give the proper salam to her when you should entering and leaving the house? 5. Smile. It costs nothing. Buys everything. Subhanallah. What if you're able to do it? Smile. Smile can kill every heat in the house. Just smile. Who cannot resist a nice, big, happy smile? It even makes me smile to think about it. Just think about smiling. You're going to find yourself smiling. Sisters, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the smile in the face of our fellow Muslims is an act of charity. So you can keep peace in your family, make a sweet feeling in your home, get rewarded by Allah, and maybe even a nice smile back. Think how your husband would feel if he came in and found your nice clean home, his wife looking nicely dressed and made up for him, a nice dinner prepared with care, children cleaned up, and welcoming him home. It really does help, even if he does not say so. Brothers, when was the last time you smiled at your wife? Can you recall the last time you actually given your wife a smile? When? Important. Number 6, the one before last, work. The house has a lot of work, ya ikhwa. There is a lot of, especially if you have kids, you cannot imagine the amount of work that the woman does. You need to help her every now and then. Nothing in the Sharia that says you cannot cook, by the way. This is cultural things. Nothing in the Sharia that says you cannot clean the floor. But the cultural thing that, you want me to clean the floor? What the women were going to be doing? It's a cultural thing. Has nothing to do with the religion. You need to participate. You need to help out. Listen, you don't have to tell your friends you're doing that. You shouldn't be doing it when they are around. Just shut all the windows, all the doors, make sure that there is no cameras, and just, you know, put on that cloth and just get the cleaning solutions and just start working. I mean, you get some workout going. Huh? Help out with the work of the family. Sisters, look around you. What is that stack of clothes all about? how come there is so much clutter in the kitchen? The bedroom looks like someone slept in it. He did the hallway like a storage building. Forget laundry room. The TV doesn't need you. The house needs you. Brothers, what about you lending a hand for the hard stuff? Why not take some time to clean up the bathroom or basement or attics? You know the hard, they are hard to reach, and the places where spiders, bugs, and insects collect. What would you do to show your love for your wife? I guess we got the point. Number seven, and the last, attraction. This is a big problem. You know, let's start with the women, especially if she's a working wife. She goes out there and she finds this guy who's working with her, so nice, the way that, you know, he talks to her. And when she comes home, she finds someone who is not showing what? Any interest in her. Of course, that's the work of Shaitan. This is all the work of Shaitan. To begin with, the ideal thing, your wife should be at home. This is the ideal thing. That's the bottom line, if you want to kill all of that stuff. But we're trying to work with what is reality is here. You need to show interest. You need to attract your wife to you. You need to speak. Women like to be, flirted with. It's true. When was the last time you told your wife, I love you? When was the last time? Probably when you guys were engaged. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to other people here. You guys are all good. The same exact thing with the wife. And this is a big area for the man. You know, he goes out there to work. He mixes with all these women who are very attractive, the way that they are dressed. And he goes home and he finds a soldier at home. You know, he arrives. it's like, this is a big, by the way, a lot of us may take this light, but this really, you see, the woman is supposed to beautify herself to her husband at home. All her zina, her charm should be at home. Yani when she want to dress up, this is for the husband at home. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the best character that you can have is with your family. خيركم خيركم لأهلي وأنا خيركم لأهلي. Yani if you want to have the best, boot on the best character that you want to boot on, good character, yani, then your wife, your family should deserve that. Sisters, use your zina. I'm sorry, the word there is zina, but zina. Huh? Yani adornment to win the heart of your husband. Every woman has blessings from Allah, including the beauties and ornaments that attract men. But then you already know that. Don't you, okay, use them. Your hair, your eyes, your smile, all these things that you can do to make your husband interested in you. Brothers, she did not marry a couch, potato. She is looking for that cute guy you were when she accepted the marriage proposal from you. Where is that guy? That nice clothed, shiny shoes, clean smell, soft words. You know, what happened to this person? The problem is we disappear after we get married. we become some other people. This is what we need to do. The last thing, brothers, and think of Jannah. I really put this in there because how much you try to make your marriage successful, how much you work hard to make it happen, you're still gonna have problems. But the magnitude of the problems will vary based on the efforts that you put in the marriage. If you actually implement some of that stuff, if you implement some of the stuff that we shared in the workshop, for sure, yani, your marriage is gonna be okay. Yani, let's say that 70%, okay. But if you neglect, it's going to drop and could lead to divorce. Now, Like we said at the very beginning, marriage was not meant to be Jannah here. The problem with us, the culture, where we were brought up, they teach us that when you marry, you live happily ever after. That's not true. Marriage is not Jannah. Marriage is just another test. But instead of being tested lonely, you get tested with one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put somebody with you all the time to test you. And you become a test for her. So now think of Jannah. Always. Allah inshaAllah is going to give me something far better in Jannah inshaAllah. Fil hur al-ayn hanak. And Allah is going to purify my wife for me. And that's how you, the best way. Whatever you're missing, whatever you're not having, consider it in Jannah. Jazakum Allahu khayra. With this, inshallah, we conclude the workshop. I hope we learned something. And if you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer this for you.
سائم رقات وغدت من شباك عطر نذير.